This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We finally have the good news in the world of baseball. But before we get to the good news in the world of baseball, let's go round the horn. See what I did there? And say good morning to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm doing well this morning. Excited that we're going to have live team sports back in short order. So today is a good day.
Today is a beautiful day. It's supposed to be beautiful. We'll get to that, obviously, later on during the weather forecast at about 12:30. Good morning, Rick DiPietro. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. I'm doing all right. It's a hump day. I'm getting through it halfway through this week. Grinding through it is the best way to describe it.
That's not a lot of positivity. You should be
right. No, it's positive. It's the same day every single day. I mean, you ask how I'm doing. It's the same exact day. I mean, all the changes.
So should I
stop
asking? Do you not want me to ask how you're doing? I mean, I care.
No, and I appreciate
it. There's the occasional
it.
Day when you've gone shopping and you come back like a veteran and you're all shaken and frazzled, and I like to hear.
No, if you were to, the point is that if you were to ask me to, like, you know, during this pandemic, journal what you do every single day, and then, you know, a year from now, look back at what you did, you would have a hard time, I mean, disseminating between the days. They're probably almost, except my bedtime, are pretty much exactly the same exact day.
The bedtime, you had to throw that in my face, huh?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Of course I did. Maybe I'll throw some hints in today. It's a big one. Tied 1-1 going into a hump day.
I mean, as we know, game three of a five-game series, you win game three, tied 1-1. Your odds are monumental to win that series.
You know what got me super fired up for baseball, besides the fact that there's going to be baseball? I was flipping through the channels last night, and Jimmy Fallon Fever Pitch came on.
I love that movie.
It was hilarious.
That movie to a fault, actually. Like, love that movie.
When Drew Barrymore is visiting her parents, and her dad's having, like, the midlife crisis where he has his hair all dyed black, but they're sitting down, and she's like, well, he wanted to be here, but he's, you know, had a previous engagement, and then they have...
That's when she sees him in spring training on TV?
Yes. And he's losing his mind?
Yeah.
Oh, I was dying. It was hilarious.
It's a terrific
That made
movie.
Me even more fired up for baseball.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Let's open up the phone lines, of course. 800-919-3776. A lot of people have said the entirety of the way through, well, I'm done. I'm not coming back. When they come back, if they don't come back the way I want it to be, I'm not getting back involved. I wonder where we are with that right now. I'd like to hear from the fans. 800-919-3776. There's one thing that I really don't like, but I don't want to start out with that. Chris, let's start out with the return of the game of baseball. 60 games. They're going to report a week from today, actually, to their actual local facilities, right? So the Mets will be here, the Yankees will be here, Red Sox will be up in Boston, and then they're going to start the regular season July 23rd or 24th, which means that we're 1 month away from the start of the Major League Baseball season.
Yeah, Dave, and I'm glad that they were able to nail down the health and safety protocols. From what it sounds like, they're going to test players every other day, and they're going to create a special COVID-19 IL with no minimum or maximum length of time that you have to spend on it. So I thought those were two important provisions that baseball needed to have in place in order to be able to pull off a season, because, you know, inevitably somebody is going to test positive for the coronavirus. It's just a matter of being able to have a plan to isolate that player and not allow the virus to be transmitted to the rest of the team. So I like the plans, the provisions that baseball put in place to try to keep everybody safe and keep the season rolling along. And I'm just excited that we get to see some live team competition.
Dave, let's not bury the lead, Dave. Let's focus on, as Mets fans, what we enjoy the most about the proposed plans and everything else. To be honest, there's one thing that stands out.
The DH.
At the fourth. Exactly right.
Yeah, no. Because now you can get Cespedes as DH. You can give Cano off days from second base and let him be the DH. So the DH should be nice for the Mets. That's a National League team that in fact, it plays well for.
Oh, we're flush with DHs. That Jed Lowry in the mix. I mean, we're flush. Flush with DHs.
If, of course, he's healthy. Did you see how many guys you can have on your roster?
You're going to have a taxi squad.
Yeah, of 30 guys.
They're actually talking about having... Did you see the report that they're actually talking about having two full teams in Nashville that are training the entire time in case you need to dip into the teams? And then you would pay, you know,
like a full second team?
Yeah, you'd pay a certain amount of money to, you know, to Nashville for having the teams. There's been conversations about that in the NFL too, having an entire separate team that's practicing every day, keeping in shape. So if, you know, COVID hits a team, there's actually, you know, guys that are in shape, and you could dip into,
it's not
into that roster.
Idea.
Yeah, I think that was an idea that the NFL was flirting with because they were going to borrow it from what the XFL did this past spring.
I don't hate it.
The XFL
no,
had that
either.
Going on. Yeah.
I mean, you got no minor league systems. I mean, there are a ton of guys that I'm sure would love to have some semblance of development and training, teams they can be on with the hope that, you know, they could get called up to a major league team.
Yeah.
I love the idea, actually.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea. So let me ask you, Rick. I mean, you're a huge baseball guy, probably the biggest baseball guy in the show. Are you excited for the start of baseball? Have you been turned off to the point where you're like, well, I'll watch it. It's what we do, but I'm not thrilled about it.
No, you know I'm a phony. I'm all bark, no bite.
So you're all in.
I can't wait. I wish it starts tomorrow. I wish it started tomorrow. I mean, as a Mets fan, how can you not be excited at this point?
But as any fan, I mean, let's be fair. It even gives the teams that aren't good a chance because, you know, over 162 games, you know, the good teams are typically going to be good and the bad teams are going to typically be bad. You can have a run of 60 games where you go 32-28 and maybe get into the postseason now.
Yeah, I mean, that opportunity exists. I'm sure every fan base is excited at the moment. I mean, if you're a team that, you know, gets off to a great start, that's great for you. I mean, there'll be teams that get off to bad starts and the fan base just disengages with, you know, everything else that's going on.
Yeah, you go 2-12 and you're done.
But I'm going to be selfish. I'm focused on one team and one team only at the moment. That's the Mets.
I'm concerned. God forbid the Yankees start out like a 7-10, can't they? I mean,
oh my goodness!
Don't start with me, Dave. Don't be that guy today,
you might have
man.
The glass
it's supposed to be a positive day. Why do you want to point out me panicking years ago? Why do you want to do that?
Because it was funny.
Sorry, come on, man.
The nine and nine meltdown. The Chris Canty 9-9 meltdown.
It was break glass in case of emergency. If we want to be specific.
The best was Dave's face when he asked that question because I could already tell that Canty was like a little bit nervous, and Dave's like, Chris, they're 9-9. Are you ready to break glass for emergency? And the second you said yes, Dave was like, really?
9-9. But I'll tell you what,
162 games,
but not anymore.
18.
I mean, if you start out 12-17, you could be in trouble this season.
You could be in trouble, Dave. But also, you have to look at it this way: because you have the trade deadline on August 31st, how many teams that get off to a bad start the first couple of weeks are just going to go into a sell-off and get rid of all of these guys that could potentially be free agents next offseason or maybe 2 years from now? Like, that's a part of the unintended consequences of this thing, because you got to think there are going to be some teams that are looking at their bottom line, not necessarily looking at having a legitimate chance to compete for a championship. And, you know, when you start factoring in the economics of it, you could be talking about teams that are willing to stockpile players because there are other small market teams that don't want to put the bill on big salaries, especially in a truncated year.
That's why I asked Jesse Rogers that question yesterday. I mean, I can't help but feel, I mean, you've been seeing this real life during this pandemic, right? I mean, if you're a person with means, you know, with a ton of money, as much money as people are losing, this is an opportunity. Like super wealthy people use times like this,
yeah, this
as an opportunity.
When you buy stock, right? This is when you go out and you're aggressive because you can afford to be.
Exactly right, because I mean, it's not costing you nearly as much as it would to acquire a business or a stock, you know, when things are normal. So that's why I asked him, like, a team like the Yankees or the Dodgers or one of these teams that has the means that, you know, maybe it's not next year or the year after, but they're going to make up their money. Why wouldn't you use this as an opportunity to get, I mean, you've already flirted with the idea of Nolan Arenado. Now, because Colorado doesn't want to pay all that money, you're not going to have to trade nearly as much to get a Nolan Arenado.
Right.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, and what happens if Colorado starts out, you know, when's the trade deadline? August
31st,
right?
Yeah.
So let's say they start out 10-20 in the first month. They're done. Would you not trade him away? You know, if they're 17-12, it's hard to envision them trading him away. But if they get into a really bad start.
Before the pandemic, they were thinking about trading him away because of how much money he's going to make. So now,
yeah,
all of a sudden, under these circumstances, you wouldn't even, of course you'd consider it.
Oh, they'd absolutely consider it, Rick. And we got to remember this, man. I know as fans of the sport, we think our teams want to do everything that it takes in order to compete at the highest level, but that's not how these owners look at it. I mean, a lot of these owners, they could care less whether they win a championship or not. They just want to be profitable. And so I could absolutely see a team like the Rockies deciding to sell off some of its assets and decide that they're just going to completely rebuild their system. Ground up.
I love how it still surprises people too. Isn't that amazing to you though? I mean, and I get it. You know, Dave is the prototypical, you know, my team is always in it to win it, which I love. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a player, you want to believe the same thing. But then you get reports during this entire time that there was, you know, we heard six up to eight teams that would be perfectly happy just not even playing the season. Six to eight teams in a league would be happy just not even playing the season. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but that's the truth. That's reality.
They didn't want to have a season. They just wanted to you know, seal it up, go home, and come back next April.
Because there are other benefits to owning a professional sports team outside of winning.
Yes.
You know, tax write-offs and everything
namely
else.
Making money, Rick.
Right.
Yeah, well, making money, writing off losses. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons.
But it all goes back to money.
Always goes back to money. Yeah, absolutely. But there are some owners. I mean, don't get it twisted. There are some owners that, I mean, they like to make money, but they prefer winning to just making money.
I think
the Steinbrenners
want to
win.
Yeah,
the Steinbrenners want to win.
Well, that was always his motto, wasn't it? That's why everyone loved George Steinbrenner.
Yes.
I remember hearing the story. He always said, the more money I put into the product, the more money I'll eventually make because people will want to come watch us.
Well,
people will be interested in us because we'll win.
Smart,
yeah, smart
thought.
But not everyone shares that thought, unfortunately.
Yeah, not everybody's willing to eat Jacoby Ellsbury's contract in order to field the most competitive team.
Not everybody can afford to either.
That's a fair point, Dave. You're absolutely right. But I'm just saying that shows you what the mentality is from Yankees ownership.
Yes.
We'll do whatever it takes in order to have the very best team going into every single year. And to Rick's earlier point, when you have years like this where you're in unprecedented times, uncertain economic times, that's usually going to benefit the haves more than it does the have-nots. And so you have a tremendous opportunity to acquire even more talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not just New York, though, Dave. See, that's the one thing I will disagree with you a little bit. It's just, I mean, the Yankees can afford to do it because they built themselves into the Yankees.
Yes.
Like, we see that now. I mean, with social media, TV deals, and everything else. I mean, we talk about this in the NBA all the time. You can be a superstar in Milwaukee. Like, teams can build themselves into a brand by having great players and winning. I mean, you saw why, but did you just read the article about why Paul George wanted out of Indy?
Mm-hmm.
Where he approached ownership because there was a power forward, he didn't name the name, that wanted to come play there, and they said, we can't afford it. And that was the minute he realized, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm never going to win here.
So if you're willing to spend the money and, you know, maybe take a loss for a year or two, you can make up that money when you start winning.
Of course you can.
But not every team is willing to do that.
Rick, it's a lot easier just to suppress player costs and rely on the revenue that you're going to make from your regional and your national television deals.
Yeah, that's why owners love salary caps. Because the owners that don't want to spend the money, they'll just spend up to the floor, want to protect themselves from the owners that are willing to do whatever it takes to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will go spend. I mean, could you imagine if there was no salary cap in the NFL and you let Jerry Jones just spend as much money as he wanted?
He'd spend it all.
Or Rick, just imagine if there was no luxury tax in baseball. Like, if you didn't have that tiered luxury tax threshold, what would teams be spending on player salaries?
Yep. Yankees and Red Sox would go through the roof.
Exactly.
Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. They do anyway.
Which is why I said this yesterday, baseball has got to do something in their next collective bargaining agreement about a salary floor.
They have to. You're right. Because you get the Rays. And the Rays are successful at it, but you get the Rays, you get the Marlins, you get the Royals, you get teams that are spending no money.
Yeah, teams that got $40-60 million payrolls. That's absolutely ridiculous, man. You've got to spend some money.
It is ridiculous. So let's get to the calls in a minute. 800-919-3776. We're 10 minutes into the show. 15 if you count the extra 5 minutes of the 9:55 start. Is it too early to have a complaint with the return of baseball?
No.
Or do I have to wait on that?
No. I would have, if it was me driving the show, I probably would have opened it with it.
You would have, I'm sorry. And I know that I said I'm all on board. I do not like this runner on second business.
Hate it.
I knew you guys were.
I'm sorry. I don't like it.
I knew you weren't going to like it, but I mean, in a sprint type of season, do you really want to have games going to 13, 14, 15 innings?
No, you don't.
You can't.
But the inevitability of what's going to happen once you see this with how smart people are, you start a runner off on second, you're going to try to bunt them over.
Of course.
If you're successful, then you're going to, intentional walk. Now I'm going to try to get the double play and get out of the inning. What fun is that going to be?
If you do that, then there's a base hit with
the bases loaded, now you're looking at a big inning.
Yeah, you're looking at a big inning, but you're trying to score a run. You're trying to score at least a run. So you're going to try to get that sac fly. So how do I get myself out of the inning?
But doesn't it incentivize teams putting the ball in play and actually leading to more action that's happening in the game? And that's something that we've been saying the last couple of years. Baseball needs to try to figure out a way to move toward that as opposed to home run strikeout.
Yeah, but I don't think it does it. It's too gimmicky for me. I don't
know.
You're going to see a bunt and a sack fly.
My biggest question is, are you going to see this in the postseason?
No.
No, you can't.
Because you wouldn't want this to determine a World Series.
No.
No, it's not going to
be absolutely ridiculous.
You can't see this. You can't see that in the postseason.
No, they're not going to have it happen in the postseason. This is strictly a regular season rule.
Now, National League DH, is that in the postseason?
It's for the entire season, yeah.
The entire season. So we will not see a pitcher bat unless he pinch hits for the entirety of the 2020 season.
Entirety of the season, and then 2021, it's back to normal.
Back to normal.
Yeah.
They blew an opportunity. If you would have had 14 or 16 teams in the postseason here, you'd have so much more action, so much more drama.
Well, plus you would have players mic'd up, which I'm sure, I mean, the casual fan would have loved. Would have loved that. That would have made you, if you weren't a huge baseball fan, it would initially make you tune in just to check it out.
It would have been the attraction.
Yeah.
So you agree with me. You don't like the runner on second.
I hate
right?
it. No, yeah. I hate it. I hate it. It's not, it's going to, I mean, it'll make it so the games will end quicker.
Yes.
But for me, it's not really adding an element of excitement.
Now that's every inning, right? So if each team scores a run in the 10th, in the 11th, you start with a runner on second.
Every
again,
inning
right?
after every inning starting at the 10th. Yes.
Right. I don't like it. What they actually do in Little League baseball is if it's a 7-inning game, they'll start that in the 9th. So you get the one legitimate inning, and then you finally go to that.
Well, they're just not trying.
I guess what would be the alternative, though, guys, if you're trying to figure out a way to get the games to end? What would be
maybe an alternative have a clean, a normal 10th inning, and then the 11th go to that, or a clean 10th and 11th, and then the 12th?
Well, if you're
gonna
go straight gimmick. I mean, go gimmick. Go all in with the gimmick. Then do
what,
a
you home
run
derby now.
Yeah, do something like that.
People would love that
because the purist is going to hate the runner on second anyway. You're like, whatever you do, the baseball purist is going to hate it. So if you're already going to, I mean, if Dave and I are going to hate it, at least do something that's going to attract the casual fan.
Well, it's the 3-on-3, right?
Yeah, but it's the 3-on-3 because that kind of appeases the hockey fan because that's still hockey, but the casual fan loves the shootout.
Well, yeah, exactly. So the home run
derby becomes the shootout. But you're going to get the best of both worlds, right? That's how the NHL looked at it.
Or you're going to give more scoring chances, right?
Well, I'm going to give you 3-on-3. So the hockey purist thinks it's still hockey. You're going to get tons of chances. And then if they find a way to get through the 3-on-3, which is already exciting, so a casual fan will like it because it's back and forth, then the casual fan is still going to get their shootout.
Couldn't you have like the 10th and 11th regular extra innings?
But here's the thing, Dave. They don't want to. They expect starting pitchers to go less innings.
Right.
Right? So now all of a sudden you're going to put more emphasis on the bullpen. You don't want to start blowing out your bullpen because you're playing every single day. You're playing 60 games in 66 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sprint. And I can't afford now to go, oh, you know what? I'm not going to use my high leverage guys this game because there's 162. Every game's going to matter. So you're going to try to win every single. This is going to be like an Aaron Boone situation where he's willing to sacrifice a game for the good of his bullpen.
You mean a Girardi?
No, Boone does it.
Yeah, they all do it.
Boone did it this year a bunch. And it's good. I mean, that's good business. It's smart baseball.
I understand. I don't want to keep guys healthy, though, to me.
Of course it's not baseball, but this is not a usual situation. It's 60 games.
So should we just shut up and just accept that this is the way
it's going to be? No, I don't like it. I think they should have went all in. If you're going to go gimmick, go all in with the gimmick. But I think part of that would be you have to have cooperation from the players. There was a bunch of players. I think it was Turner with the Dodgers that said he would be in for a home run derby. I think it was his idea.
Yeah, it was his idea.
I mean, but you don't really, this was no agreement, so you don't have the players participating in the solution.
It feels weird.
Of course it's weird. The whole situation is weird.
I think there is no good answer, though.
No, I know.
That's where we ultimately come to. There is no good answer. There is no perfect answer that's going to appease everybody around the sport. So I guess you try to have some semblance of the normal gameplay, but you try to create more opportunities for scoring chances. And by having a runner start off in scoring position, that's exactly what you're doing.
Oh, big time. Let's go to some of the calls. 800-919-3776.
Unless you wanted to, I mean, unless you wanted to just go, unless you wanted to do, you know, how you weighted wins, if you wanted to just keep ties.
Ugh. I prefer this, I think.
You have to do like a point.
I don't want a baseball tie.
Well, I don't think baseball players want a runner on second, but I mean, that's just the situation.
I don't like that either, but of those two things, I'd prefer a runner on second than a tie.
Yeah, but you'd also like to try to keep your team as healthy as humanly possible through the 60 games. So the less time they spend on the field, the better. No?
There's no perfect solution.
No, there isn't, but there would have been a more fun solution, a more exciting solution.
Yeah, the home run derby would have been fun. Put out whatever guy could. You're telling me 9 innings, 3-3 tie. Pete Alonso goes up against Aaron Judge in who can hit 5 home runs off the pitcher of their choice. Oh, people would eat that up.
Yeah, but doesn't he have to be a pitcher? It could be one of the. It could be one of the coaches.
The whoever the batter wants it to be. You just go up there, lob him in there, home run, home run, home run.
Now that would have been exciting.
That would be very exciting.
Just think about Dave Rothenberg. Let's fast forward to game. We'll say it's game 5 for the New York Mets, tied going into the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Runner starts out on second. How mad will you be if the Mets can't lay down a bunt to get the run over to third?
I'll be mad.
You're going to lose your mind.
Yeah, of course.
Pop
that doesn't mean
catcher.
I like the rule.
No, I know, but it's just going to accept. Like, you're just going to get. You'll be even more mad than now. Like, how aggravated do you get when someone tries to bunt and they can't do it?
Nobody can do it.
Okay, but now it's in extra innings and you can't.
You have to. That first guy has to bunt.
Has to get the runner to third.
Has to bunt. Now here's a question. You may not have the answer. I know I'm putting you on the spot. The runner on second is who? Is it anybody you want that hasn't played? Is it a guy who made the last out in your lineup? Do we know who that runner on second is?
That's a great question. How it works in men's baseball.
How about that for a question, huh?
See, how it works in men's baseball is the person that makes the last out.
Right.
Has to be the runner. So if I bat first and I get to first base, I can't run because I got a hammy issue. Then whoever made the last out before I got up would have to run.
But I wonder who's that.
You have a designated runner?
I don't know. I mean, do you have an extra player on your roster who's you know?
I think it would have
fast?
To be. I think it would be you get to choose the runner, I would imagine, for second base.
Or do you just pinch run for that guy?
Yeah, I don't know how that
works.
Well,
I think it probably makes more sense to allow the team to choose who they want to run, right?
Because the last thing you would want is Wilson Ramos getting stuck on second base.
Right, but you can't choose a guy that's going to bat fourth in the inning to run.
No, you probably have to choose someone off your bench, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or someone that by the time you get to home wouldn't be due up.
Right. Someone who's batting fifth or later in your lineup, potentially, that inning. I guess.
Interesting question.
Yeah. That's what we do. Let's get to the
designated
calls.
Runner.
Yeah. But think about it. What's the guy's name? Gore? Is that his name on the Royals? Or he was on the Royals?
Terrence Gore.
Point?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got tremendous value this year.
He ended up on the Yankees, Gore.
Yeah, tremendous value.
It's kind of sad that who would the Mets put on second base? Steven
I was
Matz?
Just thinking that. They don't have anybody.
I think they put Steve DeGrom.
They put DeGrom at second. Jacob DeGrom with a healthy lead off second.
Wow.
Well, then I don't think they have anybody.
No, you
the
put Nimmo
you
probably,
score
wouldn't
runs
you?
During his starts.
Nimmo or Rosario?
Yeah, Rosario probably.
Right?
Dom Smith.
Stop it. With Dom Smith to waddle around.
Can you imagine? Dude, just think of what, just in your mind as we take this first call, while you're listening to the question, just scroll through the Mets roster and think about how many DHs we have in our lineup.
Well, so this works out perfectly for them.
I don't understand why you like trolling your own team, Rick. What is
he does the same.
But we almost have too many.
Cano, J.D. Davis, Cespedes, Jed Lowry, and you could even argue Jeff McNeil.
And Dom Smith, too.
And Dom Smith. Too bad they didn't incorporate two DHs. In extra innings, you go with the double DH. All right, let's go to Mark in Massapequa. Mark, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. You guys are so right. There's so many DHs. Just quick before my other Met point, though, thank you to everyone who's gotten us through this quarantine. And as an app delivery guy, before, during, and after all this, thank you to you guys and everyone at ESPN. Bravo, with no games, giving me something good to listen to while I'm in the car radio all the time.
Well, we're very happy to be able to help and provide some levity and serious conversation as well during this difficult time. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Well, one more good thing that the Mets have going for them is, remember, we were figuring out how the Mets were going to deal with losing Beltran as a manager before the world really went crazy. And it was a question of how, what's it, it's Luis Rojas, right?
The new manager, yeah.
And, I say that's the thing. It's been so long, I'm not even fully sure of the guy's whole name. And now everyone's really going with a clean slate. Everyone's dealt with this weird stuff, and we're going to get a good look. And long-term, as long as he does okay, I mean, it's a good, you know, like training wheels almost in all this stuff.
I think it's a fair point, and thanks for the call. Rick, I don't think there's the same pressure, maybe on the Yankees, maybe, but there's no tremendous pressure on anybody this season.
No, I don't think there's pressure. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some self-imposed pressure on some of these teams that feel like, you know, they're set up to win now, but I don't think there's any added pressure on a team like the Mets.
No. I mean, if the Mets get out to a crappy start, are you going to freak out?
No, I won't freak out. And I mean, when you look at the last 3 years, they haven't got off to great starts, which concerns me a little bit. But I mean, you don't know. You can sit here today and start looking through, you know, who they're going to play, what's going to happen, and then, you know, God forbid, you know, someone comes down with COVID. You have no idea how this thing is going to end up.
Nope. No idea. Let's go to Calvin in Washington Heights. Calvin, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
What's up?
Originally, man, I want to stick to the point about the Mets, but quickly, I think the home run, 10 swings, best batters of both teams, you choose. And the home run derby will be like similar to the shootout in hockey, which brings a little bit of an exciting, you know, ending to the game. But quickly with my point with the Mets, I think besides the DH, definitely the advantage could also be usually in the month of April, the first 3 weeks, after the month of May, the Mets go on a roller coaster. It's like the nitro. They start shooting down or kinder cow. But the month of April could definitely be beneficial for them because that quick start can get you in the playoffs easily. Like right now, I can honestly count. I'm not a fan of the Mets or the Yankees. I just analyze the sports. That's what I basically do. And I honestly feel that they can get into the wild card. Their percentage now for going in the wild card goes much higher, like crazy high. I confidently just bubble them as in the wild card.
Yeah, but here's the one thing, though. Take into account, too, when you look at their schedule, who they're playing. So they already have one of the hardest divisions in the sport. And
right,
then on top of
the
you're
other
play
Eastern
the,
division, right?
You're going to play the AL East.
Yeah.
And the Mets, by the way, they've got enough to, I get it, hot starts. But, I mean, when you look at the last three seasons, what they've done over 60 games, they're 27-33, 27-33, and 28-32.
That's not great. That's not going to get you in.
And the 27-33 was with an 11-1 start.
That's unbelievable. So you see what the Mets over-under is right now? 60 games? How many wins?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
What do you think?
I'm hoping it's high. I mean, over-under 34.
Chris, what do you think? Mets over-under?
I'm going to go 31.
He's closer. 32. 32. So the expectation
32
is,
and 28. That
which means that to win with the Mets, they have to win 33 games. So 33 and 27, that probably gets you in, no?
I mean, I think the one thing you need to take into account when you look at the wild card situation is who these other teams are going to be playing. Like, which division, NL East, NL Central, or NL West, has the advantage with who they're going to play? Not only in the division, but when they're playing the AL teams.
Well, the American League,
the Central.
Are you talking solely from the Mets standpoint here?
Or I'm saying from a Mets standpoint, like to make the wild card.
From the Mets standpoint, I think the American League Central is probably, off the top of my head, probably the worst division, right?
Yeah, it's probably the
Royals,
weakest. I mean,
the Tigers.
You
got the Tigers, Royals, Twins, Indians, and Sox.
Right. So Sox should
would benefit.
Be better. Twins are good.
Which would benefit the Cubs.
Exactly.
The Brewers, and the Cardinals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, the way
they don't sleep on the Reds.
No, exactly right. So, I mean, that division will beat each other up. But, I mean, you have to take into account who these teams, you know, who
and what
your favorite
team
is.
But it's so hard to predict,
division,
though,
right?
Guys. Guys, this is so hard to predict just because you don't know how these teams are going to start. Like, I mean, we always say the law of averages over 162, it plays out. The cream rises to the top. The more talented teams ultimately end up in position to make the postseason. But with this, you could have supremely talented teams on the outside looking in once we get to tournament play. Like, it's just so hard to predict where these teams are going to end up just because we don't know how they're going to start. We have no idea.
No, you have no idea, but I will. I mean, another thing, too, that I thought about that I don't love is you really lose the advantage of having the Washington Nationals win the World Series with how late the season is starting.
Mm, yeah.
And then it's what only 60 games. You lose the advantage?
Usually the advantage is because, the, you know, especially the pitching staffs.
Fatigued.
Or worn down.
They're tired.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're going to be worn down. But now because it's starting so late.
Right. No, you're right.
And you're not necessarily going to ask them to, you know, give you eight every single game because it's, yeah. You know, you should. I don't know. That
big three will be juiced up. They'll be juiced up, ready to go.
And you look at that pitching staff.
It's murderer's row.
Yeah. I mean, the top three in that rotation is crazy. So, and then losing Syndergaard, look at our pitching staff. I mean, you tell me. I mean, do you love the option as the fifth starter? I don't.
What's my fifth starter looking like right now?
What's your fifth
Waco
starter looking
Porcello?
Like? You got Waka.
Right.
You got Porcello.
Right.
You got Stroman. You got Mats and DeGrom.
It's not awful.
No, it's not awful. And then God forbid, but the depth is really an issue.
Yeah,
if something happens to
hurt.
One of those five, then you're in
right. What happens?
Then you're in big trouble.
I wonder what you do though. I mean, because it's a shortened season, because wins are so very important this year. If you have an off day and you're in the 40s as far as games are concerned, you can see the finish line. Do you now go back to your number one starter? Skip the fifth starter and just go back to DeGrom?
Depend. I mean, it's on the table. I think anything's on the table. I think it would just depend on you're trying to protect these guys, too.
Once you get into September, though, I think it has to be a consideration, Dave. I think you're absolutely right. You consider bringing a guy off a short rest, especially a guy like DeGrom, who can find a way to be effective even when he doesn't have his best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What aggravates me, though, the most about losing Syndergaard is we've always said this the entire time with the Mets, even going back to, you know, when they made that run into the World Series. Just get a team like the Mets in because they're built for the postseason with their pitching staff. Having no Syndergaard, their staff is still good, but it's not what it could be.
Yeah, it's a huge loss.
It's a huge loss. Huge loss.
Your bullpen should be better, though, right?
It has to be.
It can't be worse.
But here's the other thing, too. You like the fact that, you know, Betances is coming from the Yankees, is familiar with the AL East.
And he's had extra time off now.
And he's had extra time off, which is a bonus. So, I mean, Edwin Diaz can't be as bad as he was last year, you hope. Familia has to be better.
I hear you laughing, Chris.
I'm not laughing, Dave.
I heard the laughter.
When I listen to the tone that you guys use when you're talking about your team, it sounds like you guys are trolling your own team.
Well, because we're honest.
This is supposed to be an exciting day.
Like we're talking about you don't understand.
I love our chances.
You're talking about opening day being a month from now.
No, I love our chances.
1 month from today.
Yeah.
I love our chances.
You guys sound negative about your team.
Ah, the Mets. You know what the funny thing is? I have no idea when that's from.
I think you may see a different kind of Mets team, though. Like, because there's no Syndergaard, you get a team that, I mean, and it just seemed like every game was different, where the starting pitcher would be great, but you couldn't score any runs, or the starting pitcher would be great, you'd score runs, and the bullpen would explode. Is that I really believe because you're going to have this DH in the National League, it's going to one of the teams that has the most positive effect on is going to be the Mets. Their lineup is going to be completely different now with this DH.
I mean, they are littered with potential.
It's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
But it helps you. But it's going to help you offensively and defensively. It's going to give you that option.
Yeah.
Because Cano is not a great, like, if the ball's hit to him, he's a good second baseman. If the ball's not hit to him, he has no range.
No agility at this point. None.
So now all of a sudden, I mean, you can put him at DH because you want to have his bat in the lineup.
Well, Cespedes, you got to figure, is going to be their everyday DH, I think.
Well, I don't think it has to be every day. I think, with this extra time off, he'll be able to play some left field.
JD Davis can DH also because he's a butcher in left field.
Well, because he doesn't play left field, Dave. Dom Smith doesn't play left
right,
field. You didn't have an outfield. You just had guys.
No, the Mets are probably, positions. In all sincerity, though, the Mets are probably the best built for the National League DH.
The Mets could be the best team built for the DH, period. The Mets are built like Brody Van Wagenen got a memo that he misread saying they were going to have two DHs instead of one.
Yeah, all right. Guys, we're good. I've planned well.
As far as depth is concerned, we got the DH position locked up.
All right, let's take a break. 800-919-3776.
They could have three DHs go down with COVID and still
be fine at DH.
Still be fine at DH.
That's right. If you're going to walk anybody out to risk it, like you go get the mail and you're going to risk going through COVID, it would be, you know, one of the DHs. You go. You go test the waters.
It's unbelievable.
Now, today on ESPN Daily, been 25 years since the first X Games. In that span, skateboarder Tony Hawk has inspired generations. Hear what it's felt like to grow his sport and where skating goes next. ESPN Daily, subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Now, here's a question for you. Domingo Germán, I believe, Rick, has 63 games left on that suspension, yes?
Correct.
So he is not eligible at all for the regular season.
No, he's not eligible for the regular season. He'll miss, I believe, the first, three games of the postseason, and
yeah,
then he's eligible.
So the earliest he'd be available is game four of the postseason.
Correct.
Do we know what the Yankees are going to do with him?
No.
Do we have any idea?
No.
Okay.
Nope. We sit and we wait.
I have to imagine they're going to keep him.
Oh, I think they'd keep him. But do you plan on him for this season, or just to, you know, put him on that?
No, why wouldn't you plan on him?
Because he'll serve a guy in the postseason for his first start to be.
It doesn't have to be a start. I mean, you saw what he can do out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, he's another arm in your bullpen.
Yeah. So, Chris, Yankees, like this year, obviously the expectation was World Series. Is that all off for you now? Because it's 60 games and it's so strange?
Well, it is a little bit strange, Dave. And no matter who wins the championship, I think there's going to be an asterisk beside it just because we all recognize that baseball was not meant to have this small of a sample size. So this is a bit of a wild card in terms of, you know, what's going to happen overall. But I guess you still look at it as an opportunity to compete at the highest level. And with the talent that we have assembled and knowing that we got Tanaka and Paxton as free agents after this season, it'd be a shame not to be able to take advantage of this year and try to compete, especially now that you've had time to allow some of the guys that were dealing with injuries to heal up. So
mm-hmm.
I would expect the Yankees to be in the postseason. I would expect them to win the AL East and have a chance at another chip. But even if they do win the chip, Dave, it wouldn't be the same as if they won back in 2017 or if they won last year. You know what I'm saying?
So this, even if they win, this is not a typical Yankees win for you?
No.
So game Yankees-Dodgers game 7, 10:40 like it is right now, fast forward months. You're not crazed? You're like, well, this is a different season?
No, don't take it like that.
Well, I'm asking.
I'm still excited about my team being in the big game and winning a World Series. I'm still excited about that. But I don't know that I would celebrate it like Yankees fans have celebrated the other 27 championships or whatever it is.
I think that's fair. Mets win the World Series and I'm celebrating.
Obnoxiously celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No asterisk, nothing.
Nothing. Why would you? If they're not good, listen. The last two World Series, you could make the argument of tainted. So I don't care how many games you're playing this year. It's going to be the same break. I mean, it'd be the same postseason. It's only 60 games, I get it, but you have to go through the same postseason. I'll take the championship, and I will celebrate the hell out of it.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Jesus in Jersey. Jesus, you're on 98.7.
Yeah, you guys kind of just stole my thunder. My two questions were, if the Yankees win the World Series, will you guys put an asterisk next to it?
Yeah, Yankees win a big asterisk, yes.
And if the Mets win it, you won't.
Right.
Of course not.
Okay. Now, if the World Series was a Subway Series,
I would avoid the Subway, but I would watch the series. Yeah.
Okay. Then let me just get back to how I usually call you guys and compare Sam Darnold to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is already better than Sam Darnold.
Stop it! Stop it!
That's a great call. I gotta be honest. He's a great. Jesus in Jersey, one of the greats.
Ridiculous.
He gets it.
Does not get it. Stop.
Is it? Is
it? You guys are crazy. Listen, time out. Whatever Daniel Jones did, you also have to add. It's like when you go bowling, right? You're in a bowling league. There's always a handicap. Unfortunately for Sam Darnold, he has the handicap of having Adam Gase as his head coach.
Oh, my God.
You have to add that into the equation.
The Giants didn't just change head coaches.
Yeah, but he had Pat Shurmur, who was much better equipped than Adam Gase. Stop. Daniel Jones had a great rookie
season. This is year two for your quarterback. This is year one for my quarterback.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, he had Adam Gase. That's a handicap.
Well, he's got the same handicap again.
Much better
equipped. And he had mono. And he had mono.
You know, whose fault is that? Keegan Sprinkle in Jersey City. Keegan, you're next.
I can't help that he's handsome. I can't help that he's single and handsome.
You can't.
Hi, actually, it's TJ. How you guys doing?
Wait, it's Caesar?
TJ.
Oh,
it's TJ, Dave. TJ,
gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, I got Keegan on the screen, so go ahead, TJ.
Sorry.
So close.
I just wanted to let you guys know, I listen every morning. You're the best part of my day. You guys do an amazing job. I don't know how you report on sports when you have nothing to really talk about. But
time
off
for 1 second. Time off for 1 second, Keegan, TJ. How do you get Keegan and TJ confused?
Well, don't look at me. I'm just reading the screen.
It's unbelievable. TJ, continue.
Just one thing. I know you guys were talking about who will be on second base when the extra inning starts. It's whoever was hitting before, like, who leads off that inning. So say you have Aaron Judge leading off the inning. You have DJ LeMahieu before him. He's going to be the one starting on second base.
Yeah, and then you could pinch run, but you lose that player.
I don't think you lose him. I just think your lineup circles back around. But LeMahieu, like, whoever was hitting.
What I'm saying is that's how it will work, that whoever made the previous out starts on second base, unless you want to pinch run for that player. So you're replacing that player.
And then he becomes the new guy in that lineup.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, whoever you replace him with. Like, if it's Wilson Ramos, I can replace him with my fastest guy, but then I have to put a new catcher behind the plate.
I wonder if you keep a roster spot, because you can have an extended roster, if you keep a roster spot of just, like, a blazing fast guy.
I'm sure you'd like a blazing fast guy that can also play a position.
Sure.
I don't know if
yes.
you want to keep around
yeah,
one
exactly.
guy, because the roster's going to get smaller as you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to eventually be back to 26. I just hope we don't see too many extra inning games. I hate the rule.
You're going to see them, though. I mean, just statistically,
I know.
You're going
I'm saying
to see
not too many. I don't want to see so many that I'm going to need to have a guy that's designated to be a runner on my bench, is what I'm saying. A couple, yeah, that's fine. I don't need to see them all the time.
Well, how many, over 162, you'd say you see how many, I mean, I'm sure we could look it up, how many extra inning games for a team?
Probably quite a few.
8, yes. 10, 12, something like that?
But that's over 162. I'm hoping
in the 60-game sprint, there's not as many. Right, so you're going to see 4 to 6, maybe?
Yeah, which is fine. I don't love the rule. So I would rather
think
see
about
it,
that, Dave. You're talking about 4 to 6 games in a 60-game season. Those 4 to 6 games could determine whether you're going to be in the playoffs or not.
Yeah, it's big stuff. Of course it could.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Everything is magnified. Every game is a 3-game set.
That's going to be awesome. It really is.
I think some of it's going to be
fun.
I like the full sprint. Let's go to Rick in Far Rockaway. Rick, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Appreciate your work. Enjoy it. Big Giant fan. Thank you, Mr. Canty. I agree with Jesus. Daniel Jones is the quarterback. I don't consider this going to be the legitimate baseball season anyway. I think it's flawed, obviously, because of the circumstances. But how about free substitution? Once you take a guy out of a game, you can bring him back in, platoon offense, and it's in defensive like they do in the NFL. If you're expecting a bunch, you might sacrifice fly to win a game. You might put 3 of your best arms in. Anybody get anything with that?
Yeah, I can't see that happening. That's not going to happen. No. I like where your head's at. You're being creative, but that's not going to happen. But I don't understand, though. What is – someone needs to explain it to me. Every team is still playing the same number of games.
Right.
One team doesn't have a specific advantage. I get it's not 162, but everyone's playing 60 games.
Right.
And you're going to – it's the same exact playoff system. So why – I don't – just because it's not 162?
What's the question? But, I mean, you're right with your points, but what's your question?
Well, he said this is not a legitimate baseball season for him.
Well, the only thing I can say is typically you have a much longer regular season. So you see the cream rise to the top.
Which you might not see this year
in the regular season.
Every team is playing the exact same amount of games.
Which is why I think it'll be interesting, Rick and Dave, because I think in terms of the philosophy that we've seen teams approach the regular season with, I think it might change just because it is such a small sample size. And you can't necessarily rely on the law of averages to put your team in the best position. Like, I'm wondering now, do you see the same philosophy when it comes to, teams' offensive approach? Is it still home run or strikeout, or do teams focus on putting the ball in play and trying to manufacture runs the old school way?
That's not good. But teams aren't going to change it. But Chris, I mean, you're saying that, but teams aren't going to change overnight. I mean, the players you have are the players that you have.
Rick, I get exactly what you're saying, but the players that you have, you're relying on those guys hitting 30, 40 home runs over a 162 game regular season. But it's not out of the question for a player to go into a 20, 25 game slump. And so you can't afford that in a 60 game schedule. So I wonder, is this going to change some of the philosophies we've seen around baseball as far as offense and manufacturing runs?
Well, the change of philosophy, you'd have to change the players. Like, Stanton's philosophy is not going to change. That's who he is.
No, he's not going to be hit it to
so
the right.
So unless you're
going to
replace him in the lineup, that's, I mean, you're going to be lots of strikeouts and hopefully lots of home runs.
That
guys are just
going
to all of a sudden be able to snap
for
their
teams
fingers
that are,
and change.
For teams, well, I get what you're saying, but for these teams that are relying on hitting a whole bunch of home runs, you know, 250, 300 home runs, I mean, you're not, you might not have the opportunity to be as reliant on the home run. And where is that going to put you in comparison to the rest of the teams in Major League Baseball? It's a good question. I think it's a legitimate question.
But you're still going to have the opportunity to take advantage of the third, fourth, and fifth starters of these teams. That's the different part about when you start talking about, you know, putting balls in play, manufacturing runs, is when you get to the postseason, because you're seeing the best of the best pitchers, you're not going to hit those. You're not going to have the opportunity to hit as many home runs because you're facing better pitching all the time. You'll still have, I mean, you'll still have the opportunity against average pitchers to take advantage and hit your home runs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll struggle against the DeGroms and the Scherzers and the Strasburgs and all those guys. But
you always would anyhow. 162 games, 60 games, whatever it is.
I think the urgency to get guys in the lineup, you're not going to just have, I don't think you just have, you know, naturally, okay, we're going to have this as a scheduled day off because this game doesn't matter. Or this guy's not going to be available in the bullpen. I think that has to change a little bit. You got to use your best guys to get wins.
Mm-hmm. You need to win games quickly. All right.
Like if you're like if a Yankee situation like last year, they're tied, they're in a game and they're tied, but, you know, they don't want to go to one of their high leverage guys because, you know, he pitched the day before. The last 2 days, I think you have to. I think that mindset has to change a little bit. You have
Quick
a chance
break.
To win. You got to find the chance to win.
Let's go. It's the time that we bring in friend of the show, friend of the station, Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy from Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. Today, as my setup, I will give you that leading the league in a statistical category in the NBA five seasons or more makes you a god. Today's three questions are about basketball's elite.
All right.
Ready, Christopher?
I'm ready, Andy.
This all-timer has led the league in points scored in a season 11 times. Who is he?
Well, so what was the beginning of the question?
This player, an all-time great, has led the league in points scored 11 different seasons. Who am I?
I want to say it's a big man. Am I barking up the right tree, Andy?
No, got to come down a little bit shorter than you.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Really?
Interesting, okay.
It's not going to be Michael, right? He didn't lead it 11
times. No, not 11 times, no.
Huh.
Sure about that?
Well, maybe not. Michael led the NBA in scoring 11 times?
And that would be correct.
Ah.
Michael Jordan?
Ding.
I don't think he led 11 times. Jeez.
No, I didn't either, Dave. Okay.
All right. Well, there we go. I guess
we'll
1-0.
There you go.
All right, Rick. Here's a makeup for you on hump day.
All right. Here we go.
This player has led the league five seasons in three-point field goals made. Name him.
An NBA player led the league in field goal, three-point field goals made.
Three-point field goals made. When you think three-point field goals, you think him.
I think Steph Curry.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Yeah.
I mean, could you ask him an easier question, really?
That was, I appreciate that. That was
right,
a hump day.
It was so easy, he didn't trust the
stop
answer.
Stop it.
Yeah,
it's
I like that.
Day.
Thank you,
Come
Andy.
Come on.
Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Until I get some outrageous question.
Andy,
no,
if Dave.
This question will be tough, but.
Andy, if Dave ever kicks.
Pretty
if,
straightforward.
Andy, if Dave ever kicks you out of his house, you can come live with me.
Most seasons, leading the league in total rebounds 11 times. Who is this big man?
See, I told you mine wasn't going to be as easy as your layup.
Oh, that's got to be the Stilt, right?
Final answer, Dave, with Christopher's help?
Final answer.
It's got to be Will.
He is correct.
Yeah. There you go.
Big man helps out Dave. All right, guys, put your collective brains together with this one. This is tough.
All right.
This point guard is the NBA's all-time leader with five seasons separately leading the league in steals. Who is he?
I think Stockton off the top of my head, but that's probably too tough.
Mm-mm. It's not him.
He says Gary Payton, Maurice Cheeks. How about Maurice Cheeks?
Jason Kidd had a ton of steals.
Maurice Cheeks is a big steals guy.
Come on, David. I mean, contribute a little bit here.
Yeah. It's all on me.
Contribute a little.
Alvin Robertson was a big steals guy. Mookie Blaylock. These are the names that are screaming out.
Do you need a little hint?
Have I named him?
Is it current? Timeout. Is this player still playing?
Oh, yes.
I know who it is.
Well, give him a hint, Rick.
Well, then to answer the question. It's for all of us.
This is a point guard that has been, he makes a ton of money.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul CP3 is correct.
Nice.
Way to go, guys. As always, stay healthy, my friends.
All right. Very, very well done.
Well done, Ricky.
Yeah, you're on your game today.
Nah, not too shabby. It's a hump day. I mean, the expectation is that Wednesday I'm at my best.
You should thrive on a hump day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is rested. Your day. Well, you feel should, rested. And you did. I think it's the return of baseball has you all.
Yeah, baseball, well rested. I mean, a lot going into it.
How well rested?
I can't tell you that. I mean, feel good, though. Spry.
A lot of sleep. Was early. Maybe the 720 last night.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.